The Founding Fathers, American Revolution, our Constitution, our history, America. Thanks so much for tuning in as we discuss the people, places, events, and battles that turned 13 separate colonies into the greatest nation on earth, the United States. Welcome back, Patriots. This is Ron Kern, your host of the Patriot Power Podcast. And although this is going to be very, very short compared to my other episodes, I felt that it was important because on this day in 1732, George Washington was born. And I think a lot of people just kind of gloss over that, like, hey, it's President's Day. Maybe I get a day off of work or whatever. This should be a day that people really remember and honor George Washington. Now, George Washington is by far my area of focus. I own a lock of George Washington's hair. I have his signature tattooed on the inside of my left arm. We are members of Mount Vernon, which a lot of other people are, but we live in Idaho, so we don't get to visit it very often. So we try to be support him and Mount Vernon, the legacy that he's left us. And even though he's been gone for centuries, lessons are still being taught by him. And I feel if our current president and future presidents would know their history and really study presidents and people that really actually cared for the American people and cared for this country in the way that George Washington and John Adams and all the other very key figures did, the landscape of our country would look way different than it currently does. And so today I just wanted to do a real short podcast in honor of George Washington. I'm going to cover the basics, and a lot of this is stuff that you probably learned in grade school or high school, if they're still teaching actual history in schools anymore. On this day, February 22nd, in 1732, George Washington was born. He was born at his family's plantation on Pope's Creek in Westmoreland County, at the time in the British colony of Virginia. And his father, his name was Augustine Washington. He and his second wife, Mary Ball Washington, were his parents. And George, the eldest of Augustine and Mary Washington, had six children. He spent most of his childhood at Ferry Farm, which was a plantation close by in Fredericksburg, Virginia. And then after Washington's father died at the age of 11, George Washington was 11 when his dad died, it made sense that he helped his mom manage the plantation. And as much has been written and documented about George Washington, his early years and what his education was are quite few and far between. We don't know a lot about his younger years. I think many prosperous and well-to-do families back then were taught at home by private tutors, or they attended a very private school. And it is believed that George finished his formal schooling at about the age of 15. He did show great aptitude for math, which came in real handy because he became a very successful surveyor. And that obviously helped him know all of the lands in Virginia and surrounding states, which would come in very handy during the war. Now, George Washington only left the United States one time and in his entire life. And that's when he went to Barbados with his older half-brother, Lawrence Washington. And his brother was suffering from tuberculosis. and they thought and hoped that the very warm climate there would help him heal. So after they arrived in Barbados, George got smallpox. He survived, obviously, but it did leave some permanent facial scars. So some of the paintings do a very good job at this. Others kind of literally gloss over it. But he did have some pock marks. So really accurate paintings like from Peel. He did an amazing lifelike painting of him. So he had a little pock mark on his cheeks and his face. But thank goodness he got smallpox while in Barbados because, well, the epidemic later on would kill more people than the actual battles and fighting did. So kind of a curse at the time, I'm sure, but it was a blessing later on because he was immune to that. I think the first documented, you can't quote me on this because I'm really shooting from the hip on this entire podcast, but while I was at Mount Vernon on a visit years ago, I believe this story is one that I can relay fairly accurately. Somebody had done research to find out the first ever documented court case or filing or anything to do with George Washington in the records at the courthouse. And the first case that, at least up to this point, that people can find was George Washington had left Mount Vernon as a kid and walked down from Mount Vernon to the Potomac River. That is often a place where people would bathe. They didn't have hot showers and steam baths and saunas, right? So he went down there and took all his clothes off and jumped in the Potomac and was washing. And he came out and someone had taken all of his clothes. Even at a young age, he was so humble and so proper, might be a better word, that he was devastated at this. And he actually found the three kids who took his clothes from him and hit him and sued them. So this was kind of a unknown fact that most people have never heard of. So that was kind of interesting. The other thing is he held so many different positions or titles that we, I think, seem to forget. Yes, he was our first president, and thank goodness he was. And he set the precedent for so many things of the following presidents, from John Adams and Thomas Jefferson to today. When he was being inaugurated the first time, he stopped the process and had someone go down to a local church and bring a Bible back. And he put his right hand on the Bible and lifted up his left hand. And that is why every president since puts their hand on the Bible and swears his oath to serve and protect the country. Everything he did as president was setting a precedent. So choosing people to surround him and help him, right? We now call that a cabinet. He really had the most amazing first cabinet ever. He had Henry Knox, Department of War. He had Thomas Jefferson. He had just amazing people around him. And a cabinet that will never be as good as the first one, in my opinion. He absolutely loved farming. And George Washington actually invented a 16-sided threshing barn in 1794, which actually was pretty darn interesting. In fact, it is still at Mount Vernon. And it's at the time, it was a crazy cool agricultural innovation that it improved the threshing process. And what he would do is he would put all the wheat on the upper level, and he had a wheel where horses would just simply walk around, and they would walk in a circle and step on the wheat. And the holes underneath the feet would only let the actual wheat go down. So that was a pretty cool invention. People really don't know that he invented that. I mean, there's other founding fathers that did amazing, crazy inventions, like, of course, Benjamin Franklin invented the bifocals. Thomas Jefferson, he actually improved the moldboard plow. Of course, Benjamin Franklin, we could go on and on with the lightning rod, the glass harmonica. Although Thomas Jefferson did invent a wheel cipher, And it was kind of a cool deal. It was in 1795 that he invented it. And it was a way of sending and receiving secret messages. And Thomas Jefferson's actual version was never well known, but it's pretty cool invention if you look it up. But nonetheless, George Washington was held so many positions. He was 7 Years' War, and he was a 21-year-old leading troops for the first time. He was in the House of Burgesses before that. He was, of course, a commander, right? He was the general of the Continental Army. Then he was president, and then he was president again. He was the only president in history to be unanimously elected twice. And of course, when he stepped down and told people he was not going to run a third time, King George III at the time said, "If George Washington relinquishes his power, he will go down as the greatest man in history." Well, he did give up his power, and he taught the nation how to move forward, and the groundwork, the difficult tasks of everything that he did was the first time. And he had to have a severe amount of pressure, although in some writings it does come out. But he knew that everything he did was setting a precedent, right? Can you imagine that amount of, I don't know, stress, I guess, is what I would consider it. But he did give up his power. And all he wanted to do was get back to Mount Vernon and sit under his fig tree, which is exact words that he said in his farewell address, which, by the way, is the most celebrated farewell address ever given by a president. And the things that he accomplished were just amazing. It wasn't just leading the Continental Army to a victory over the most powerful and largest military force on the planet. Yes, he did that. It wasn't just being president of a new country that was completely in turmoil after the war and up until George Washington became president. See, a lot of people think, you know, we fought the war, we won, everybody was happy, and we became the United States. Not true. After the war, we were under the Articles of Confederation, and it was a mess. It was as good as it could be at the time until we created our Constitution, but it was a mess. And the only person that the entire country could count on that could come back and heal and fix and cause some semblance of order was George Washington. And he came out of his retirement and became president twice. And he wanted to go back to Mount Vernon. And after 40-some years, I think he probably deserved it. But it would only be 2 years that he would enjoy that time at Mount Vernon, because 2 years later, he would pass away. They have a technical term, I can't remember, but basically it was a throat infection that killed him. And it was an excruciating, painful, miserable way to die. He did free all of his slaves after his death, but because of how things worked back then, his slaves went to Martha. But it was in George Washington's will that once his wife died, that all of his slaves would be freed. Upon his death, he did free his very good friend and servant, Billy Lee. He freed him immediately, because back in those days, you couldn't just free your slaves. It was against the law. So you could free up to one slave, and he did free him upon his death. But Billy Lee refused to leave Mount Vernon and stayed there until his eventual death. So he was a general, a president, an entrepreneur, an amazing surveyor. He was a leader. He was in politics. He loved to farm and create new innovations like the threshing barn. The guy was amazing. And many people on his birthday today just think of him, I think, as a president, and yeah, he's on our $1 bill, and that's about the extent of it. They know about maybe the war or whatever, but he was not a great military tactician, let's be honest. But what he could do was motivate and lead people. And the other thing that I admire him for is the guy would not quit. He would stumble, fall, make a mistake, learn from it, and try it again. His words and his mannerisms helped the country on so many occasions. It would take 12 podcasts to cover them all. But one, he set the Whiskey Rebellion. He got that to simmer down. If George Washington ever would have been caught, captured, or killed during the war would have immediately been over. No question in my mind. Nobody could lead this group of men. And I say that specifically. He was not the best tactician. In fact, his first few battles were bad losses. But he came back and he learned from his mistakes. One thing I love about George Washington is that he would take input from all the people around him, whether they were in his cabinet, whether they were lower in rank or position. And he would soak up all of that information, and based upon that, which every time, of course, everyone had different opinions of what to do or not to do, he would listen to them. He would actually close his mouth and listen. One of his greatest strengths is listening. And then from there, he can make a decision based on what he feels would have been the best thing to do. But it wasn't just a, you know what, I think this, so I'm going to do it because I'm George Washington. I'm going to do this because I'm president. I'm going to do this because I'm the general of the Continental Army. No, he sought advice and he took counsel. Other politicians should learn to keep their mouth shut more and seek advice and wise counsel from wise people. That's one thing that George Washington was exceptionally good at. Just kind of spitballing things, so I'm sorry that I'm jumping around, but again, I just wanted to honor George Washington, and there's so much to say, and I'm obviously not going to cover a sliver of what I could. If you like my podcast and what I'm doing, and you want to support it, I have a few ways that you can do that. Word of mouth is certainly the best way to advertise, so please tell your friends and family about this podcast. It's kid-friendly, too, so you can share it with teachers and schools if you want to. Podcasts that have a lot of reviews are just found easier. So if you have a few seconds, and literally, that's all it takes, go to the bottom of my podcast, click the number of stars that you feel it is warranted, and that's it. You can write something if you want, but that's not necessary. It literally takes you just a few seconds. Lastly, we have some pretty cool patriotic gear on our newly launched online store. We have mugs, t-shirts with famous and important revolutionary quotes. Thanks for your consideration, and now, let's get back to the podcast. But a couple other things. People think that George Washington did chop down a cherry tree, and he could not tell a lie, and so he told his father. That story is 100% false, so don't believe it. Also, do not believe that he wore dentures that were made of wood. He had no pair of dentures that were made of wood. They were usually made out of animal bone, ivory, and in some instances, other human teeth. It's kind of weird, isn't it? He had one of his natural teeth when he took office as the president for the first time, one. And if you look at the $1 bill, it kind of looks like in the picture and many of his paintings that you are like he is clenching down on his teeth real hard. Well, and his little cheeks would, you know, kind of puff out. He did that a lot. And the reason why is because his dentures that he wore, which I've seen, they were on a spring system. And he was always afraid that if he opened his mouth too wide or if he didn't clench, that his dentures would completely pop out and he would be embarrassed beyond belief. So he did clench his teeth a lot. And George Washington never wore dentures made out of wood. That was just a myth. Some other interesting things. he really was a stickler for dates. So we celebrate his birthday on February 22nd, or at least I celebrate it. It's recognized as his birthday. But back then, they did use the old Julian calendar, which the colonies later adopted the current new style, right, the Gregorian calendar that we still use today. And in switching to from one calendar to the next, it meant that his date of birth would be moved back 11 days. Well, Washington preferred the original 2-22, or February 22nd, so that is why we celebrate his birthday on the 22nd. George Washington is the only founding father that did not attend a college, and he's the only one that did not actually have formal college education. He had to leave school at the age of 15 because, well, his family couldn't afford college education back then. And so he was a very much a self-taught man. He loved to read. He read a lot, kind of like Alexander Hamilton. They both devoured reading. He read anything and everything he could get his hands on, which came in very handy too, because as I mentioned earlier, he became a surveyor when he was young, which helped him really become known to the world during the French and Indian War. In fact, he actually started the French and Indian War, which you can go back to our French and Indian War episode and learn all about that. But he enjoyed a pamphlet that was called The Rules of Civility. I have a copy over here on my bookshelf. And this Rules of Civility, George Washington wrote out a copy of it. And it's actually 110 Rules of Civility. And he wrote and rewrote and rewrote and studied those when he was about 14 years old. And it's kind of fun to go back and look at those. So like rule number one, every action done in company ought to be with some sign of respect to those that are present. Wow, wouldn't that be nice if that still happened? Rule number two, when in company, put not your hands to any part of your body, not usually discovered. Right? Number three, show nothing to your friends that might make them afraid. Rule number 10, when you sit down, keep your feet firm and even without putting one on the other or crossing them. Rule number 19, let your countenance be pleasant, but in serious matters, somewhat grave. Rule number 35, let your discourse with men of business be short and comprehensive. Rule number 38, in visiting the sick, do not presently play the physician if you be not knowing therein. In other words, don't be an armchair doctor if you're visiting somebody that's ill. Rule number 40, strive not with your superiors in argument, but always submit your judgment to others with modesty. Holy cow, would that be amazing if people did that? And then, of course, some of them are just silly, but rule number 101, rinse not your mouth in the presence of others. So don't, take a swig of scope and spit it out if someone's around. Some of these are just funny. Number 107, if others talk at the table, be attentive, but talk not with meat in your mouth. So many of those are very serious, or more serious, I should say, about how to behave. And he really took these to heart because he liked the thought of having that feeling of not superiority, but dignity, right? And since he wasn't from a royal family, and since he did not have all the wealth when he was younger, and he certainly didn't have the education, here's an example. Well, he did have access to 110 Rules of Civility, so he studied those. And it's kind of a telling sign of he made the best out of any situation with what resources he had. You know, he never sat around and complained at home because he couldn't go to college, although he desperately wanted to have that education. Back then, when education actually was good and solid, a lot of people think, oh, you know, people graduated from Harvard at 14, like John Adams. They graduated from Princeton and Yale when they were 15. It's because it was so much easier back then. No. Quite the opposite. It was actual learning They learned Latin. They learned arts. They learned, and when I say learned, it wasn't they were taking tests and they passed and they got, yeah, I graduated, right? No, they actually understood and grasped the concepts and learned things back then. So since he didn't have that, he used this as kind of a guide for him. So just an interesting fun fact about George Washington. Another cool fact is the only president, as I mentioned before, he was the only one to receive all electoral votes and a 100% unanimous decision. In fact, he never ran. He never ran for president. People begged and called upon him to come back and save the nation that was crumbling after the war. Kind of a cool tidbit of information that some people may not know. I had mentioned earlier that he placed a hand on the Bible, kind of stopped the process until the Bible could be retrieved and came back. The other thing that he added was, "So help me God," to the end of the presidential oath of office. And he did that during his inauguration, and it's been that way ever since. If you've ever seen Adams on HBO, it's kind of a funny scene, but when they were trying to figure out what to call George Washington, the emperor of the new land, the excellency of, these titles were like way long and drawn out. And George Washington was not interested in all of that. And he walked into the room while everyone was debating these 10 or 15 long drawn out names to that he would be called or the position would be called. And he said, "You need to call me Mr. President." And that's why he is president. And that's why people in that position are called president. He's also the inspiration for the two-term limit for the president. He was also the first president who issued the first Thanksgiving proclamation, declaring November 26th as a national holiday. Only George Washington and Abraham Lincoln are featured on both a U.S. coin and a bill that's currently in circulation. So Washington is obviously honored on the $1 bill and the quarter, and Lincoln adorns the penny and the $5 bill. Washington was also featured on the country's first postage stamp, and he's appeared on more issues than all other presidents combined have. George Washington never lived in the White House, and it was not built during the time that he was president, but he was instrumental in the design of the capital city that now bears his name, Washington, D.C. So, as you can tell, he did a lot of different things and had an impact on things that are going on today. And I hope that at least today or on future President's Day, George Washington's birthday, you have a little more information or maybe hopefully more appreciation for a man that was not educated, self-taught, self-learned. He helped create the best country on the planet. He was a farmer that invented things and created new crops and helped, and he shared that information and he helped others because he wanted others to succeed. He was an outstanding listener. He was a leader. He was a man of integrity and honesty, and he was just the right man in the right position at the right times. And in my opinion, a hand of God, as he would often say, or he would say Providence, I'm pretty sure God had a hand over him because of all of his accomplishments and everything that he's done. He was a believer and he did pray, unlike anything you'll find online that he was a deist and he didn't know. There's so much evidence to the contrary. He was just a remarkable human being, and there's over 9,000 books written about him. So I just kind of touched base on a few things that I hope you found interesting. And I know this was kind of scattered and back and forth as far as the timeline, but hey, I shot from the hip on this, and I hope that your President's Day was a good one. I'm super jazzed because I ordered a flag that was flown over Mount Vernon this morning on George Washington's birthday, and I will be having that arrive at my house momentarily. If you have not checked out mountvernon.com, do so. There is so much information about George Washington. You can look 3D visual of Mount Vernon. There are aerial photographs. In fact, I actually have all the drone footage that Mount Vernon used in their website and some of their videos that they do on site. I will post those. There's no music to them or anything, but it's pretty cool footage and seeing the perspective of how big Mount Vernon is. I didn't mention that Mount Vernon was the place where many of his relatives were buried. Mount Vernon does hold his wife, Martha, and George Washington is also buried there, which I visited, and I had the extreme honor and blessing of doing the wreath laying ceremony. And that was a very, very special time. That was many years ago, but I still remember it like yesterday. And I thankfully have video and pictures. Maybe I'll throw those on this particular podcast. I won't have show notes. I won't have anything really related. I just wanted to get it out and remind people of whose birthday it was today and how amazing of a man he was. He was an outstanding stepfather, a good husband, faithful husband. I mean, the list goes on. But do go to mountvernon.com. There is just a plethora of great, solid information if you're interested. So other than that, I thank you for tuning in to this short blurb about George Washington with a lot of facts, kind of a shotgun approach. But hey, I love George Washington and what he did for our country. And there are many, many lessons that we can all learn from in reading his letters, seeing what he did in difficult situations, and I think we should all do that. You know, a great way to become great is to study great people, and there's no question that George Washington is the greatest president that we've ever had, hands down. The first is the toughest, and he laid all the groundwork and made it easier for everybody afterwards. It's just unfortunate that people did not follow in his footsteps. Thanks for listening and hope that you tune in next time with us here at the Patriot Power Podcast. Make sure that you hit subscribe so you'll get notified when our new episodes are available for you. And we hope that you check out our websites, which include our show notes, links, documents, and more at patriotpowerpodcast.com or ilovegeorgewashington.com. Until next time, hope that you and your family have a blessed week. And remember, be safe and tell a veteran thanks for their service.